The world is full of counterfeits, from fake money to fake paintings and everything in between. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker opens the Bible and shows us that the devil has been in the Christian counterfeit business since the beginning of human history. So much so that he is willing to duplicate nearly every aspect of Christianity. But the one area that he never allows is the acceptance that Jesus Christ is God. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, December 19th, 2010. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Captain Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, The Deity of Jesus.
Those of us that have been around for a while remember that every gas station was a full-service gas station. And they cleaned your windshields. The boy would come out, check your oil. They'd check your air and your tires if you wanted. Well, the story is told of an 18-year-old boy with his first job at the gas station, and a man comes in with an out-of-state license plate and an address and an envelope, and he says to the boy, I'm looking for these folks. Do you know where they live? Kid says, yeah, I know where they live. Well, could you tell me where they live? Sure. You go out this road, you'll go through, four stoplights, and you get to the fourth one, it's a main intersection, you turn right there, and you go out past the ball field. No, that's not right. Scratch that. That won't work. Actually, it's this way. You go out around the corner until you get to the bridge, and just after you get across the bridge, when the main goes, there's a road on the left. You want to... No, that's not right. Up the hill behind the station, past the school, and when you come to the T intersection where you have to stop, turn right there, and then the road gets scriggly. And that won't work. I'm sorry, sir, but you can't get there from here. You can't get there from here. You'll have to start from somewhere else. I like that story because it's nonsensical. Children, that means it's silly. When I was growing up, before we had such a thing as a MapQuest, when people wanted to get to your house, they didn't put your address in a computer and get a map. They would actually call you on the telephone. And how many times have I heard dad directing people to our house in Virginia Point? And what would he always ask him? Where are you now? Where are you now? Because I can't tell you how to get here until I know where you are there. When people come to Christianity, something we absolutely have to establish is, where are you now? I can't tell you how to get here until I know where you are now. And the most important location is, where are you on the deity of Jesus Christ? Children, deity means God, the deity of the Father, the deity of the Son, the deity of Jesus Christ, the Godhood. Where are you on the deity of Jesus Christ? If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you can't get them saved from being lost. That bridge does not exist. You can't get them from here to there. Today, we're going to talk about the deity of Jesus Christ. Remember what I talked about last time I spoke? No. What Jesus looked like, remember? And we went to, we agreed that he was about 5 foot tall. And we talked about Galatians 5:22, and we talked about the character of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those characteristics which God, by his Spirit, reproduces in the mature believer. But today we're talking about who Jesus is. This fundamental Christian doctrine, the deity of Jesus Christ, is attacked by various cults. It's that one thing that Satan does not want to admit. You'll hear it with the Mormons, you'll hear it with the Jehovah's Witnesses, you'll hear it with many groups that have the word church on their building, but deny the deity of Jesus Christ. During the 2008 presidential campaign, Mitt Romney, a governor of Massachusetts, a Mormon, proclaimed in order to get conservative votes, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." But he doesn't believe that Jesus is God. He believes that Jesus is a God, a created being, and he believes that he and all Mormons will also become God. That is blasphemy. Folks, there are many boys in Mexico named Jesus, and you may as well be trusting your sins to the boy Jesus in Mexico as the Jesus of the cults. There is no salvation trusting in a Jesus who is not God, God incarnate. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, "But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And Paul again in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The deity of Christ, Satan's one absolute area that he will not give on. Let's pray. Father God, on this absolute, essential truth, I'm praying that each of us here, by the power of your word and by the moving of your spirit, might be wonderfully encouraged and reassured that indeed we worship the living God who was born in a manger, lived, and gave his life for us. Father, might you be glorified here, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Belief in the deity of Christ is essential to salvation, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, not merely a good man, a prophet, a teacher, Jesus as Lord. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. This is Jesus Christ, the mediator, who makes peace. He alone was qualified to pay the ransom and was required by God the Father. That was required by God the Father, because as God, he was sinless. A study of Bible conversions will reveal that many occurred when they recognized that Jesus was Lord. Paul in Acts 9:5 said, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Paul here, for the very first time, met Jesus as God. It changed his life radically. Then we see in John 9 where Jesus gave sight to the blind man, and I will read from verse 16. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" Jesus heard that they had cast him out, the blind man. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. To deny the deity of Christ is to rob mankind of a Savior and condemn us eternally. Wow. What an important statement. To rob the deity from Jesus Christ is to rob mankind of a Savior. It is that important. We're going to look at 15 true proofs from Scripture today that point out the deity of Christ. Our first, Jesus Christ is referred to as Lord in Psalms 110:1. And I read, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord, the Father God, said to my Lord, that is Jesus, Sit at my right hand, the place of honor, the place of power. This is not a place for anyone from the human race to sit. This is not the place for a created Jesus. This is the right hand of God the Father, the place of honor, the place for deity. It's reserved for God alone. Jesus sits there in his deity." Jesus referred to this passage in Matthew 22:41-46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The passage from Psalms 110 is also quoted in Mark 12 and in Luke 20. Peter also referred to it in his sermon in Pentecost at Acts 2:34. It is very important. It's the prophecy that the Messiah would be the divine Lord himself. Our first proof goes on to our second here. The virgin birth would be coming, God coming to live with men. Isaiah 7:14, "And shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the Savior that was coming. And in Matthew 1:23, it tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. This came true at Bethlehem. God in the person of Jesus Christ came to dwell with man at the incarnation. Christ in human flesh, the baby Jesus. Our third point, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was given divine names in prophecy. In that beautiful section out of Isaiah 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In this passage, Jesus as man was born. Jesus as the Son was given. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." God always existed. He had no beginning. Not born, but given as a son. Only the Lord God himself could be the fulfillment of these names. Now sometimes you'll find no comma between Wonderful and Counselor. So you read it Wonderful Counselor. Other times they're divided. I'm going to divide them because I like it that way. Wonderful, only God is truly wonderful. Luke 18:18. "A certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Jesus was using this as a teaching opportunity, giving the man a reflection upon his own words. Counselor, the omniscient, all-knowing God, could be the perfect counselor, and we find that in Psalms 16:7. The mighty God, the one prophesied to be the Messiah, was to be God himself, the everlasting Father, John 10:30. Remember, was it Thomas that said, "Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough." And Jesus said, "Thomas, have I been so long with you and you don't know? I and the Father are one." Our fourth point, the Christ who was prophesied to come was to be from everlasting. Micah 5:2, we're back in Micah again, Pastor Frank. But thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall he come forth, and unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This one out of Bethlehem was from everlasting. He had no beginning. The Messiah Savior was to be the eternal, omnipresent God himself. Our fifth point, God and Christ both gave their personal names as I Am. In the Old Testament, Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. And then we go to the New Testament, John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, saying something twice means it's important, and there's only one place in Scripture where a word is used three times in a row, and that is where, Lou Bond? And what is it? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lou, you're a regular theologian. I told him last night that was coming, so I wanted him to look good for his kids, you know. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews understood much more perfectly than we, and they thought that he had committed blasphemy for ascribing the name of God to himself. They promptly attempted to stone him. And death by stoning was the proper death penalty for this particular sin. We could go to Leviticus 24 and learn that. But Jesus had not sinned, for he was truly God. He was and is the great I Am in person. Our sixth point, Jesus Christ forgave sins. In Mark 2:5, Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Only God can forgive sins. In Mark 2:7, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? The Jews were correct. For only God can forgive sin. For sin is transgression against the law, and only the aggrieved person can forgive the guilty person, which is to say, only God, the one in whom we sin against, can forgive sin. In forgiving sin, Jesus either blasphemed or he was God. Jesus was and is God, and he can and has forgiven sin. Our seventh point, Jesus claimed equality with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is evident in the baptismal formula as well as the benediction of 2 Corinthians 13. Where it says, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, linked together. And I read, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, linked together. And I forgot to mention, as I usually do, I thank Dr. Alban Douglas, missionary to China, for this outline some 50 years ago. He put this together. Our eighth point, Jesus claimed omnipresence. To be omnipresent is a characteristic of God Almighty only, not true of angels or of men. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus promised to be anywhere and everywhere all at the same time. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, wherever, I am there. Our ninth point, Jesus claimed omniscience. Omniscience is to know all things and is a characteristic exclusive of God himself. This fact was evident about in the triumphal entry when he told them, go down there and there's a colt, you'll find it tied, all-knowing. Jesus exercised the gift of prophecy also in Matthew 12:40 and in Matthew 24:3-31. We won't go there. Our tenth point, Jesus claimed omnipotence. Omnipotence is all power, and it is exclusive only to the God Almighty. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This claim supersedes the power of man, angels, demons, whatever. This is a power exclusive to God alone. Our 11th point, Jesus Christ had creative power to bring something into being from nothing. Creation is possible only to God. Jesus was active in creation and continues to maintain the world. We saw that in John 1, 1-3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, the creative God. And apart from Him was not anything made that was made. The deity of Jesus Christ, active in creation. Hebrews 1:3, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. Jesus used creative power to perform some miracles. You remember the water to wine, His first miracle. Also the feeding of the 5,000. Our 12th point, Jesus Christ, the true God, had power over the elements. We find in Luke 8:4, when Jesus rebuked the wind and it obeyed Him, and there was a great calm at once. In Mark 4:39, Jesus calmed the waves and the raging sea, a power not of man but of God. And of course, in Matthew 14, Jesus walked on the water. Power over the elements. Our 13th point, Jesus Christ received worship due only to God. In John 9:38, I quote, no, the man who had been healed of blindness recognized the Savior, said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped Him. And Jesus, as God, accepted worship. I could have done a whole rabbit trail here, the various places in Scripture where someone would bow down to worship, be it Paul or whoever, or an angel, and he'd say, oh, don't do that. Don't worship me. Whoa, get in trouble with one who's worthy to be worshiped. But Jesus Christ accepted worship and validated Himself in that way as God, worthy of worship. Luke 4:8, Jesus said to Satan at the time of the temptation, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. To worship anyone other than the Lord God is a terrible sin. When Jesus accepted worship, He was saying to the world, I am the Lord, I am God. Our 14th point, Jesus accepted the testimony of Thomas. John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said to Him, my Lord and my God. If Thomas had made an overstatement or a misstatement there, Jesus would have corrected him. But Jesus didn't change those statements, because indeed, He is the Lord God, the eternal preexistent one. And our 15th point, the fact of Jesus' resurrection, and this is the strongest capstone, that Jesus is God. In Romans 1:4, I read, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. John 10:17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. In verse 18, no one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it back again. This commandment I received from the Father. Only God could make such a statement. I can lay my life down in death, and I can take it back again. This verse specifically states that the resurrection declares Jesus as God the Son, God in His deity in Christ. If Jesus were a fake, a liar, an impostor, or a mere man, God the Father would have left Him in the grave until the day of judgment. But according to Romans 6:4, it was the Father God Himself that raised Jesus from the dead. And I quote, therefore we have been buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. The Father God thus proclaims conclusively to the world the deity of Jesus Christ. We conclude that Jesus is God, for he possesses 12 exclusive attributes of God: eternal, unchangeable, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, holy, sinless, just, loving, merciful, and faithful. Eternal, our first point was Micah 5:2 again, from everlasting. Unchangeable, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Omnipotent, Jesus stilled the storm and the sea, also in Matthew 28:18. Omnipresent, because this goes out by podcast around the world, and there may be some people who are listening that would like to support some of these points, I'm going to give some of these scripture locations. Omnipresent, Matthew 18:20, John 1:48, John 3:13, and Matthew 28:20. Jesus was omniscient, Mark 11, 2-6, John 2, 24-25, Luke 5:22, Matthew 24:3-31. And I'd like to know that somewhere, someone is writing those down, and the Spirit of God is going to lead those through them, past those passages, till they say, you know, that is what Scripture says. He is holy, Mark 1:24, Jesus, the Holy One of God. Sinless in 1 Peter 2:22 and John 19:4. Just in John 2:14-17, the cleansing of the temple. And also in Acts 17:31, the righteous judge. He's loving, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this. Also in John 11:36. He's merciful, Titus 3:5, according to his mercy he saved us. Mercifully he died for us. Faithful, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Also, the five works of God are also ascribed to Jesus: creation, preservation, forgiveness, raising the dead, and judgment. And the scripture to support those points: John 1:3, Hebrews 1:3, Luke 7:48, John 6:39, and John 5:22. So in closing, anyone who claims to be a Christian and does not believe that Jesus is God has religion and not salvation. Salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ must not be through the Mexican boy named Jesus. We're looking to God himself, Jesus in his deity. Religion is works, people trying to please God. Christianity is faith, trusting in the finished work of God and the free grace and gift of salvation. Remember, you can't get there from here without a belief in the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, what a joy to look at the support you give for this awesome fact that this babe born in a manger, the baby Jesus, God incarnate. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your scriptures. Lord, I pray that some in the sound of my voice today will be redirected to look again to your word and find out what real truth is. So thank you again for this time, in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on ScandiBibleChurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandi Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. And before we sign off for this week, I have in my studio here a very special guest, my 4-year-old son, Clayton. And we just wanted to say, on behalf of everybody at Scandi Bible Church, wishing you and your family
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to everybody. God bless you.